The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us. As the celebration of Theophany continues, it goes all the way through January 14th. The church therefore commemorates the man whom Jesus the Christ said, quote, "I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John." End of quote. On this first Sunday, the day of the Lord, in the new secular year 2024, John the Baptist, whom the church also calls the forerunner, stands before us as someone to truly imitate during this year. Today's gospel passage opened with the words of St. John preaching, quote, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," end of quote. And thus, in every icon that depicts the forerunner, we see him pointing to Jesus the Christ. If you look at the icon of the Theophany, he's pointing to Christ. It's not here, but in an iconostasis that is a complete iconostasis, you will have always John the Baptist will be the next icon. And if you watch in any church, he's pointing to Christ. Might we take a lesson then from the Baptist in this new year? Let every word we speak point to Christ. Let every act we do, every deed we do, point to Christ. May our thoughts direct our hearts to Christ. And may our hearts, the core of our being, cultivate and point to Christ. Isn't that what the act of the metonymy that we do every time we enter the church? The first thing we do, we come up to the icon of Christ and we will bow. The metonymy, pointing to Christ, pointing our hearts to Christ. The Theophany, a Greek word, it means manifestation of God. It occurred at the Jordan River. And the Jordan River, in the Bible, is a significant place. When the Hebrew people, the Israelites, were entering the promised land, what did they cross? The Jordan River. That was a symbol of the people as they crossed this water. Remember, I talked about the meaning of water at Great Vespers a couple of nights ago. It's the symbol crossing through the water. Water is a sign of life and death and new life. So the people are crossing the river and they're entering into the promised land. They are going into a rebirth, a regeneration, after they've been wandering as nomads for 40 years in the wilderness. They were aliens. They had no people. They were no people. They were no people, no land. Now they crossed over into the new land. And the Jordan was like a baptism for them. And now they're going to be able to worship the true God and follow the true God in the promised land. So that's the new birth. That's the birth of this nation. These people called Israel. Similarly, every human being is born into exile. We are born separated from God. And through baptism, what happens? There's a regeneration through the water of the baptismal font. We go through death into life, life in God. We enter paradise called heaven. Yes. People think heaven's waiting for us after we die. No, I say this over and over and over. Heaven begins now. If you are in God, on the day of your baptism, you begin to experience heaven. Because wherever heaven is, there is God, and where God, there is heaven. Therefore, on the day of your baptism, you now are a child of God, experiencing and already tasting heaven. Not complete, but you're already experiencing it, and the rest of life is moving more and more into this experience of heaven. Today is that word, as the Kandakian for the Theophany states. Right, you heard it tonight, you heard it today, you heard it yesterday. When I come to your homes of blessing, we'll be singing the Kandakian. You'll hear that word today. Jesus the Christ himself comes to the Jordan River. He comes to the river that marks a new beginning. The difference is this. This new beginning is the definitive new beginning. The baptism that the forerunner, John, was giving offered a baptism unto the forgiveness of sins. But that baptism was only a preparation. It's preparing the way of the Lord. We heard St. Paul say that. We heard it in today's epistle. What did St. Paul say? What did he teach? Quote, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus the Christ. End of quote. And while John the forerunner was preparing the way for the Lord, it was only a symbolic washing in a very symbolic place. And while the people could go to John and they could walk into that water, immerse themselves in the water, and make an act of repentance, it was simply a repentance from immoral acts. Yet they still remained in their sin. I will say this over and over, and Pope Benedict XVI was so good about teaching this. We have to really understand, Christianity is not about becoming moral people. Anybody can become moral. Christianity is about the eradication of sin. And that's what was not happening in the Jordan. So what John was doing was simply a preparation, calling people to at least start living a virtuous life, start living a moral life. That's the first step in the conversion. To acknowledge, I'm not well. I have vices in my life. I'm not whole. W-H-O-L-E. Whole. I am ill spiritually. That was the great work of the John the Baptist. Through his powerful preaching and his powerful witness of life, countless throngs of people were coming in from all over the surrounding regions. And they were acknowledging their sins, and they were beginning their repentance. And that longing for wholeness prepared the way of the Lord. Then, as the liturgy says, today, the Theophany, this day the Lord stood among the sinners. He stood among the sinners. One with man, one with woman, one with the human being. And he stepped into the Jordan River. And as I preached yesterday, that river so clear, taking all the sins of mankind, that water laden with the sins of humanity. And the Lord plunged himself into that existence. And at that moment, as he came out of the water, something extraordinary happened. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down upon him. And out of the sky came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son." It was the revelation of the Trinity. And that's why this feast is called the Feast of the Theophany. When Adam and Eve sinned, the doors were closed to heaven. God was there and man was here. And on the day of our Lord was baptized, the heavens again opened. And now there's a way for man to go back into communion with God. And that's why the Feast of the Theophany is of such great importance, especially for Eastern Christians. Today began the definitive new beginning. Because Jesus the Christ did not come just to forgive sins. He came to give life and to give it abundantly. He came to bring communion between God and man. He came, as St. Athanasius, our great Eastern Father, says, he came that God became man that we may become God. We kind of change in English to godly. Looking then to the Baptist. Looking to the Baptist as they began this homily. How do we imitate this important man of Scripture, of whom no one else is born that's greater? How do we make sure our lives on this first Sunday of the new secular year, how do we make sure our lives are pointing to Christ? How do we make sure we're cultivating this great treasure, the greatest treasure? Think about the greatest treasure you and I have ever been given. The greatest one, the greatest gift. Life of God. How are you cultivating this? How are you guarding it? How are you growing in it? First, do you have joy in your heart that you've been baptized? Do you rejoice in the fact that Christ has given you eternal life? In your heart, does it jump with joy? Why should you make any effort, therefore, to attend Sunday liturgies, Friday Vespers, and our other great feasts? Why? Is it a law? No. Is it obligation? No. Is it a moral duty? No. Is it out of fear? No. Because you're filled with joy. You love. God has given you a great gift. You come to his temple to praise and thank him and honor him for the most precious gift you've ever been given. Second, do you read your scriptures every day? And do you pray every day? If you have the joy of God in your heart, that you have been made a participant in the heavenly banquet, you would be reading your scriptures every day, and you'd be saying your prayers every day. Third, joy. Joy moves you to proclaim to others the mighty deeds of God and what he's done in human history, but what he's done in your own personal life. If you're coming to the divine services, if you're reading the scriptures, if you have a personal prayer life, God is speaking and God is working in you. Are you telling people about it? Make it personal. It's a personal encounter. Fourth and finally, the one filled with the joy from on high that he or she has communion with God, then leads a life of selfless love. Selfless, sacrificial love. The Apostle Paul teaches these words, quote, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or out of conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself." Christ is among us.